Tonight, as we open our Bibles, I would like us to do so to the Gospel of Luke and the fourth chapter, Luke chapter 4, tonight. Tonight, as we come to the study of God's Word, I would like to address the topic of temptation. All of us are called of God to live in this world, yet we realize that we are not to be of this world. And the reality is that the world in which we live, it is getting more and more difficult to live a life that is holy and pleasing to God, as we understand that this world and the evil of it is waxing worse and worse. Tonight we want to begin to look at some thoughts from God's Word that will help us to yield not to temptation. I think it's important that we understand how we can fight against the temptation that the devil brings in his onslaughts against us. The Bible says he is as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And we need to be ready to defend ourselves and prepare for those attacks, those temptations, as they will come. Before we go any further, though, let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our study, and then we'll consider some things together from Luke's Gospel. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to come. We're able to study the Word of God together. We thank you, Lord, for the truth that is revealed in your Word. And we thank you, Lord, for the example of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who helps us to learn to yield not to temptation. Now, Lord, we realize that all of us will face times of temptation. And Lord, we want to walk holy and pleasing in this present day. Yet this world is getting worse and worse. And Lord, it becomes at times more and more difficult. And it behooves us as your people to be wise in understanding the times. And we can walk in a way that is well-pleasing in your sight. So Father, we thank you and we praise you for the help that you'll give us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We've opened our Bible to Luke's account of the temptation of Jesus Christ there in Luke chapter 4. I think it's interesting to note that this event in the life of Christ takes place immediately after the Lord's baptism. You'll be reminded that the Lord Jesus went down to the River Jordan, and there by John the Baptist was baptized. And as he came out from the water, the Bible says that the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and a voice from heaven was heard which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What we understand is what takes place next. And I want you to follow along as we begin reading in verse 1 of Luke chapter 4. It says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hand thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. As we come to Luke's account of the temptation of Christ, we find that which we need to help us understand the very nature of temptation. I want us tonight to consider the very nature of temptation as it comes to us. We mentioned earlier that the world in which we are living is getting worse and worse, and the availability of the ease of sin is greatly increasing in our society. You know, today, we no longer have to leave the comforts of our home to involve ourselves in some of the grossest of sins known to mankind. We no longer have to deal with the stigma of disgrace that someone would see what we are doing. For the most part, if we choose, we can sin absolutely privately and no one would ever know. And that temptation is causing many to stumble and many to fall. Our society has become more and more, and many within the church are becoming desensitized to the horrors of sin. What used to be to us something aghast is now commonplace. To hear of certain things today, we hear about that all the time. And those things don't seem to bother us anymore. We live in a world where it seems to be harder and harder for us to fight against the temptations of the devil because it's so easy for us. We've become desensitized to the problem of sin. And the challenges that face this generation are increasingly difficult. However, the nature of temptation has never changed. From the beginning of time till today, the devil still uses the same basic attack against people. He brings the same basic temptations to us. They're just clothed differently from generation to generation. And if we are going to live this life and yield not to the temptations laid before us, it's imperative that we understand the basic nature of the temptations that the devil uses. From the very beginning of human history until the present day, the devil still uses three basic temptations to lure man away from God. And I want to consider those with you tonight. As we do, I want to begin by looking at what I'll call the tenets of temptations, and then I want to look at the trappings of temptation after that. But let's look at what I call the tenets of temptation. In the passage before us in Luke chapter 4 tonight, the Bible tells us in verse 1 that the Lord Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jerusalem and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. For 40 days, the Lord Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness. And as you come to verse 3, Luke unfolds for us the final onslaught of the devil's temptation. It's important to understand that for those 40 days in the wilderness, he faced many temptations. Because it says that he was tempted those 40 days. But what's recorded for us in Luke 4 is that final onslaught. And it reveals to us the very nature of the temptation that the devil brings against the people of God. These are the basic avenue which Satan seeks to lure God's people away from the paths of righteousness. So let's look at them beginning in verse 3. It says, let's actually back up to verse 2, the middle of verse 2. And in those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The first thing that we need to understand concerning the nature of temptation, the first prong of attack that the devil uses is what we commonly call the sins of the lust of the flesh. The Lord Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. For 40 days, he had eaten nothing. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why he was fasting. But we know he was fasting and he had eaten nothing for those 40 days. And the Bible makes it clear that after those 40 days, he hungered. So the devil brings an attack. And that attack appeals to the lust or the desires of the flesh. So if you be the Son of God, why don't you turn that stone into bread and you could eat? That's the nature of his temptation, to appeal to the flesh. Satan was aware that there was nothing wrong in meeting one's physical needs. Would you agree with me to that? There's nothing wrong with us partaking of bread. There'd be nothing wrong after those 40 days for the Savior to eat. But the problem was the appeal in which it was made. He is appealing to the lust of the flesh. It was the Spirit of God that led him into the wilderness. It was under the direction of the Father that he would fast for 40 days. He was supposed to be living in absolute dependence and control of the Spirit of God. But he hungered. And the devil said, why don't you meet your basic physical need? He appeals to the flesh. Yet the Lord, if the Lord would succumb to that temptation, what he would be doing would be putting his needs above the purpose of the Father. His needs, his fleshly need, would have been more important than the purpose that God had for that period of time. If you look again at verse 1 and 2, it's very clear that he was taken there by the Holy Spirit of God. He was directed there by the will of the Father. That is exactly where God wanted him to be, but his dependence was to be upon God. Satan sought to entice the Lord by appealing to the base desires of the flesh. How many times are we tempted with those desires of the flesh? Folks, understand, when we talk about the lust of the flesh, we're not always talking about sins of immorality. Sometimes it really is that we are exalting ourselves above God. By meeting our own physical needs, they become more important than the very purpose of God. Let me give you an example. Is it wrong for a man to earn a living, to provide for the needs of his family so that he can eat, so that he has a home to sleep in, that he has a vehicle to drive and live the life that we live today? Is it wrong for us to do that? Absolutely not. Is it wrong, however, in wanting to meet those needs, to make that the priority of life, setting aside the purposes of God? Absolutely. When the career becomes more important than attendance to church, more important than the things that God would have us to do so that we can have more of our quote-unquote basic needs, folks, it becomes sin. And the devil is appealing to our flesh. You know, in the very beginning, that was the temptation that the Lord used with Eve, was it not? Hold your place and go to Genesis 3 for a moment. Genesis chapter 3. This shows us that really the nature of temptation has never changed. Verse 1 of Genesis 3 says, Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree, what's the next few words? Was good for food. It appealed to her flesh. The very first question that the devil asked is, aren't you allowed to eat of every tree? He's appealing to her flesh. Does God say you're not allowed to eat of all the trees? Well, God said we can eat of all but one. And in that question, he is beginning to put doubt in her mind that God is withholding something very good for her food. He appeals to the flesh. The difference is, Eve gave in to that temptation. If you're back in Luke 4, look at the Lord Jesus' response. It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Lord Jesus said that it was more important to live in obedience to the word of God than it was to supply for the desires of the flesh. There's nothing wrong with him having bread to eat, but he was living in dependence and obedience to God. Eve looked at it and said, it was more important for me to eat than it was to obey the very words of God. She put the needs of her flesh above the plans, the purpose, and the will of Almighty God. And in doing so, sinned. The Lord Jesus understood he was not to live simply by bread alone, but by every word of God. He was to live in dependence and obedience to God. Now look at verse 5 through 8. Says, and the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment in time. By the way, verse 5 reveals to us a little something about the enemy that we fight. He is a rather powerful creature, more powerful than you and I. We need to be careful. Sometimes we think we can handle him in our flesh. You cannot. He is stronger than you, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Our life has to be in dependence of him. Verse 6, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. What's the appeal? Well, this appeal is what we often call the lust of the eyes. He shows him the kingdoms of the earth, and he offers him all, if he would but just worship him. He's appealing to the lust of the eyes. His first attempt to cause Christ to sin was for him to show disloyalty to the Father. Now, he seeks to entice the Lord through the avenues of the eyes. He gives him what he can see and behold. How powerful a temptation comes through the lust of the eyes today. You know, in the world of marketing, there's been a new term created in this era. It's called eye candy. It exists on TV and all over the internet. If you look at what goes on in advertising today, they are seeking to entice people through what they see. When you go to a web page and you open it up and all these ads pop up, it's designed to be eye candy. It is there to entice you, just like a parent would entice the child. Stop crying and mommy will give you candy. By the way, parents, don't do that. It's not the way to get your children to do right. But they do it. There is eye candy today for us to behold and see. It is a means by which the devil has been tempting mankind for ages. He's appealing to our sight. And he here seeks to give Christ something that would appeal. By the way, what exactly is he offering the Lord at this time? Kingdoms of the earth, to which he would rule. Isn't he getting that anyway? So what's he enticing him with? I'll give it to you sooner. You don't have to wait. Just bow down right now. You're going to get it anyway. You're going to rule one day. You know that and I know that. Let's get on now. I'll give it to you now. See it. Behold it. It can be yours. All you have to do is just worship me. Just give honor to me. Folks, it would be sin for the Lord to do that, even though he had been promised to sit on the throne of his father David. It would be sin to give that place to the devil in order for him to obtain what was rightly his in a time yet not given to him. God had promised that one day he is going to sit on his father's throne. But the timing wasn't right. But the devil offered that you could have it all now. By the way, isn't that what the devil again did in Genesis 3? If you go on and read in verse 6, it says that she saw that the fruit was pleasant to the eyes. Now, folks, she lived in a garden filled with fruit trees. But in that temptation, everything else looked like rotted fruit. But to the eye, that one was so beautiful. Oh, that she could just have it. Go ahead. It's okay. You can have it now. Right through the lust of the eyes. I like the Lord's response again. He comes back with Scripture. The Lord Jesus reminds us that it is God and him only that we are to serve. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. For you and I to advance in any way the cause of the devil in order to advance any cause that we deem more important is sin. And folks, sometimes the devil entices us that way. Listen, we know this is what God wants you to do. You can have it now. I know it's real important to you. This is all you have to do to be able to obtain those good things that you want to be able to have. You want to do great things for God? All you have to do is compromise just a little. And you can have everything that your heart's desiring to do for God. You just have to give up a little over here and you can have it all today. And folks, there are churches going after the lust of the eyes all over this world today. In the name of something that seems so good. We just have to compromise a little, but we're giving the devil place. And it's sin. It's sin. Look at verse 9 down through verse 13. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Folks, we call this the pride of life. Matter of fact, if you would turn to John, you don't need to tonight, but look it up for yourself. In John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, we are told to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And all that is of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You want to know what the world's all about? It's wrapped up in these three things that the devil tempts us with always. This is the pride of life. It's the final prong in the attack of Satan. He takes the Savior to the pinnacle of the temple, some 300 feet above the floor below. Throw yourself off. You say you're the Son of God. Psalm 91 says that He gives His angels charge over you. You won't dash your foot against a stone. See if it's true. Prove to me you're God. He's appealing to pride. He misquotes Psalm 91. He takes it straight out of its context. Psalm 91 has to do with those who are in the midst of trouble and trials, that God would protect them. The Lord Jesus responds, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. To jump off the pinnacle would be a temptation of Almighty God, and taking the passage right out of its context. Folks, he does the same thing in the Garden of Eden. He misrepresents what the Lord said he would do. He brings the scripture into question. And Eve looked and said, This could make me wise. Pride of life. Again, we refute the devil's claim by saying we are not to tempt the Lord our God. It's a quotation from the scripture. We need to be careful not to tempt the Lord in the pride of our lives. We are called to walk humbly before our God and follow in His will. It is never right for us to lift ourselves up in pride against the known will of God. We're to live according to the Word of God. But the devil sometimes comes and let's twist it. Let's pervert it. You can do more. Did God really say you can't? Our pride gets lifted up and we believe we can do whatever we want, however we want, without checking with God for a thing. And the pride of our life will cause us to fall in sin. There's three other things I want to briefly show you tonight. I'm going to call these the trappings of temptation. I want to take a practical look again at the nature of our temptation, because in this passage, I think there's three things that are often set by the devil to trap us, to cause us to fall. There are certain situations that you and I ought to be aware of, for in them we'll find a place where the devil, Satan, looms and seeks to devour. I want you to see these situations that we often find ourselves in, and they are places that the devil uses to bring his attacks. The first one, I want you to look back at verse 1. It says, And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The first place I want you to see that is often a place that the devil will bring his attacks is the place of solitude. He was taken into the wilderness. As a believer, you and I need to be aware of times when we feel alone, times of solitude. Now again, I want to remind you, he was taken there by the Spirit of God. It was God's plan for him to be in that solitude. And by the way, it is God's plan sometimes for you and I to go through periods of time where there is maybe no one else around but him and him alone. There's nothing wrong with solitude. We don't like it. We get a little nervous. We get a little complaining when we're alone. But folks, you are never alone, because the Bible says that the Lord Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord Jesus wasn't alone. He was with the Father and with the Spirit, but it was a place of solitude. And it's in that solitude that the attacks did come. He's alone. You know, sometimes we're alone. Sometimes we wonder, would it have been long for him while he was alone? No one was going to know. Just turn a few stones into bread. Who's going to see it? Is it really going to hurt anyone for him to partake and eat? He's alone. There's no one there to know what he did. But it would have been wrong because God wanted him in that place of solitude fasting. That's precisely the problem that we have in our modern world. We can sin quietly. No one will ever know. Who's it going to harm? And the devil often tries to convince us it's really no big deal. It's just one time. It's just a little sin. Who's ever going to find out? Who's it really going to harm if it's private? How can it really hurt anyone? Oh yeah, I understand a few years back when it would have been brought great disgrace to everyone, but that's not going to happen anymore. You're alone. The devil brings his attack. I like what Charles Spurgeon said about some advice when it comes to temptation. He said, "What setting are you in when you fall? Avoid them. What props do you have that support your sin? Eliminate them. What people are usually with you? Avoid them. There are two equally damning lies Satan wants us to believe. One, just once won't hurt. Two, now that you have ruined your life, you are beyond God's use and might as well enjoy sinning." He goes on, "Learn to say no. It will be of more use to you than to be able to read Latin." Folks, we need to learn to say no in times of solitude. Who's going to know? God's going to know. But in the place of solitude, sometimes we find the temptations of the devil. So be alert. Be watching, because there's an enemy, the devil, who walks about seeking whom he may devour. It's one of those places we need to be careful of. Number two, there's the place of stress. It's not brought out here, but it's brought out in Mark's account in Mark chapter 1. I believe it's verse 13. I didn't write it down tonight. But basically, Mark says that he was alone there in the wilderness, along with wild beasts. You say, what's that really matter? If you're out there in a wilderness next to the wild beast, you think that might be, I don't know, a little stressful? You're going to get a good night of sleep to listen to the lions roaring. I don't think I'd feel as comfortable out there. That's going to be a place where there's danger. There's going to be some stress involved. And in those 40 days, we find the Lord in a place that is often stressful. Again, I want to remind you, he was led there by the Spirit of God. And folks, sometimes God takes you and I on purpose through the furnaces of fire. He takes us through days filled with stress, because it is good for us. I'm not sure who's coming up along the way there, but you just let him go underneath there, okay? There are places of stress. The question is, how will you handle that stress? Will you look for a little diversion from that stress? Because that's what the devil's going to put before you. Let me give you a little diversion from the stress of life. Benjamin Franklin made a very good observation when he said this: "It is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follow it." Did you get that? It is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follows. You give in to the first temptation, and it is harder not to give in to the other ones that follow, which will be more intense. There are times, folks, that you and I face times of stress, and we need to be on guard during those days of stress. Naturally, our defenses are down, and the devil seeks opportunity to expose our weakness and devour us. times of stress. There's a third place tonight I want to point out to you. And again, it says in verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Folks, he was in a place of physical weakness. He was in a place of susceptibility. For 40 days, he had not eaten. He would no doubt be in a weakened physical state. You know, you and I don't do well without our normal meals. Imagine 40 days without them. How weak you would feel physically. Now, last weekend, I had the chance to take all the boys with me in my van to the ranch. You know what I learned about our youth boys? I learned they can really eat. Sitting next to me was Ben Harper. From the time we left until the time we pulled in Clarendonville, he ate. He ate junk food and he ate his oranges, so you grandparents can be happy, okay? After he had eaten all that he had, he literally looked at me and said, Pastor, I had a little bag of peanut M&Ms. And he said, Pastor, would you mind if some of those disappeared? How much more are you going to eat? I said, go ahead. They were gone. Never saw him again after he asked that question. We arrive in Clarendonville. Now, all the boys ate for 2 hours. We arrive in Clarendonville. A half hour later, pizza hits the table. And they ate and ate and ate. We went bowling, came back, and they ate more leftover pizza and popcorn till about 1:30 in the morning. They ate. They're growing boys. They were getting weak. They needed more. They were susceptible, poor fellas. Folks, the Lord Jesus, in all fairness, was in a place of susceptibility physically. And in that time, the temptation came. Think about, folks, just where you are after a couple days of being sick, not able to eat a whole lot. You've had enough of the chicken soup. You're done. You want a meal. We get a little angry. We get a little grumpy. We get in a bad little place. We become susceptible to more temptation. And folks, that's exactly where the Lord was. In those times, you and I need to be alert. We need to be watching. We need to be careful. Because there's an enemy, the devil, who wants us to yield to temptation. He wants to devour. He wants us to sin. And then he wants to convince us that our life is ruined for God. So just keep on sinning. Folks, you and I need to learn to yield not to temptation. We need to understand the very nature of it. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And know the places where it will come. It'll come in places of solitude. It'll come in places of stress. And places that we feel susceptible. Because we've been weakened. Be alert. Be watchful. Be ready. That we fall not into temptation and sin. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time together tonight. Lord, we ask and pray that you would help us to yield not to temptation. Help us not to fall in sin. But Lord, we're thankful that if we do sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Lord, help us stay ever close unto thee. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.